though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Do not fear.
But you've only lost the night, prisoned all your pretty feelings. May they comfort you tonight. And I'm climbing over something, and I'm running through these walls. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me.
Mumford & Sons for you this morning. You know, I don't know if that song was written to a lover, but it could very well be words that some of us might express to God. It's week two of the Brave Journey, and we're talking about storms today. And many of us may be wrestling with the storm of doubt. I don't know if I believe all this stuff. And we've just found a way to open that conversation with God is to come into a room and collectively sing words that are prayers set to music to Him. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we sing these songs, I'm encouraging you to think about it. It may be a song, it may be a phrase from a song, it might be a word, but try to grab one to something that expresses what you want to say to God this morning. Let's sing together.
Yes.
tradition, deeper than my knee, deeper than conviction, deeper than all I can see, deeper than restriction, deeper than this heart in me.
Deeper.
You are deeper. You are deeper. You are.
When setting off on a journey, it's easy to leave behind the comforts of home and of the safe harbor when the seas are calm. The sun by day illuminates a clear path, the stars at night. The winds filling your sail while your rudder and keel cut a perfect line through still waters. The story changes, however, when the winds become erratic, the water gets rough, and we can't tell east from west. In those moments, we long for safe harbor. Day to day, we're blindsided by pop-up storms, like a bad diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, or a heartbreaking turn of events. The psalmist writes about his own condition. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voices and pounding waves against me. Yet, in the midst of the raging storm, the pounding waves, God offers us more than safe harbor. He offers to make us stronger, to make us brave. His love crashing over us like powerful waves.
Champion of heaven, you made a way for all.
You can have a seat. You can have a seat. And as we do, God, I thank you, Jesus, that you are the champion. I thank you for the good news in that song. And God, the truth is, all of us will have storms in our future as we go boldly toward new things. But to know that you are the God who calls us beyond the shores into the waves is all the confidence I need. And I pray, God, that you would increase our confidence today to go boldly in the direction that you call us. Because we do so in the strong and powerful character and name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's Brave Week 2, and we are excited to have you with us. I want to say hi to you if you are in this room or if you're in the chapel watching. Just excited to have you here for Brave Week 2. And I don't know about you, but it's been an awesome first week of the journey for me personally. Anybody else having already? It's been amazing. Already, it's been amazing. And I'm just excited because there is just more to come. You know, if you're new here and missed last week, we're for the next 5 weeks now looking at this invitation Jesus offered to us to take a bold new step, to go to a new place. And some of us have said, we're going to kick an addiction. And others of us have said, we're going to start something that God has caused us to start, a business or an idea. Others of us, we're going for reconciliation in our marriage. Whatever that heading is, the direction we're headed, that's what we're calling it. Whatever that is, we've got to be brave. And so we're in a journey where we're talking about how to do that. And a big piece of the journey is not just coming on the weekend, but engaging in the app, personally interacting with God and kind of processing what you've heard. And so you can download that app at Google Play or at the Apple Store. But then also, all of us are getting in small groups where we can be both encouraged and held accountable to continue to move forward toward what God has called us to run after. And it's not too late to get in a group. If you go to crossroads.net/journey, you can plug in and be a part of a group. There's 900 groups posted, so there's probably one that would fit your needs. And beyond that, we're also doing on-site groups in Oakley Tuesday and Thursday nights. And so more information about that is in your program. Two other things to not miss in the midst of this journey. One is the Brave Experience. The Brave Experience is happening April 26th through May 10th at the CityLink Center. It's going to be an immersive environment where you can pray and interact, and I believe all of us who go will hear from God specifically regarding our heading. You don't want to miss it. Honestly, your journey will be incomplete if you don't do this. So mark your calendars now and get ready to engage God and engage in a creative environment where I think you'll be able to hear his voice and hear him speaking to you. Maybe this is something that you can line up your schedules and do as a Brave group, your small group together. Definitely want to tell you about that. Another thing you can do with your Brave Journey group is be a part of this Brave Bold Call that we're running after on Saturday, May 16th, where we're going to have 500 projects and 10,000 volunteers for Go Cincinnati 2015. And so this is our one-day blitz of love in the city where we partner with organizations making a difference every day. And we roll up our sleeves and we plant gardens and we get to work. And it is an amazing thing you don't want to miss. And so if you've never been a part of it, here's a little video idea of what you can expect.
You got so much love in you. You got so much love in you. I'm amazed that I'm talking to you. You look like the songs that I've heard my whole life coming true. You got so much love in you. You got so much love in you. I'm amazed that I'm talking to you. You look like the songs that I've heard my whole life coming true. You got so much love in you.
Awesome. Yeah. Mark your calendars. Saturday, May 16th, you want to be there. We say this every year. If you plan on doing yard work that day, if you have a personal project plan, forget about it, because we're going to lock down all of the tools will be at a Go Cincinnati project. So just join us. And you can do that work afterwards. It's going to be great. Something for the whole family. Hey, this year, think about doing this with your Brave Journey group and inviting other people in who aren't a part of the group, neighbors, friends, to be a part of this with you. One other thing to let you know about, and that is Connect events. We know that many people may have started last week, or maybe this is your first week here. You're jumping in on the Brave journey. We're excited to have you here. And after the service in Meeting Room C, we'd love to say hi and begin the process of making this big place a bit smaller. So meet us over there for a Connect event opportunity. You can pick up your kids and you can bring them. We've got some stuff for kids to hang out and play and do while we just get to know you a little bit. Love for you to come and be a part of it. Well, right now, we're going to do what is a rhythm around here every week, which is this team is generous. And so we give to fuel and fund the life change that happens through things like Brave and being able to fund and fuel apps and all the infrastructure to make that happen. We also give so that we can be a blessing to people outside of this place with the infrastructure costs of things like Go Cincinnati. And so in this moment, this is an opportunity for you to jump in and be a part of the team. Great time to jump in if you've been thinking about it, to be generous. If you're brand new and you're still kind of figuring this place out, we get it. We know that you may not trust us with your money yet, and that's totally fine. Our volunteers are going to be coming with some bags, and you can just let that bag pass you right on by. But for those of us who call this place home, this is where we give back generously through cash or check in the bags or online at crossroads.net/give through our app. You can give that way as well. And as we take up an offering, we're talking about storms today, and we're going to look at some people who have a very different point of view when it comes to a storm. Take a look. That just looks epic to me. Oh my goodness. Why do I want to do that? I mean, seriously. Why do I want to do that? You know, there's something about that. You know, some of us would look at that and say, that looks crazy. There's no way I want anything near that. But I think that there's something there. There's a spiritual principle there that I hope we grasp today. And that is, there is some learning in life that you can only experience if you get close to the storm. And the truth is, as I hear what these guys are reflecting on in this sporting event, the most significant thing I've been a part of in my life, greatest mission I've been a part of in my life, there's something they understand about the learning that happens in a storm, if you're willing to face the storm and not run away from it. What is it about storms? What is it about storms? You know, we're in spring. Finally, spring has sprung. And of course, like today, April showers. That's right, you guys learned that in school. April showers bring May flowers, unless you have little kids. In which case, April showers bring sleepless nights and little pitter-patter feet into your bedroom. That's what April showers bring. So at my house, with all the thunderstorms we've been having, it's just been crazy. And so my wife and I just realized, like, our boys are just afraid of thunderstorms right now. And sometimes I chuckle and I'm like, gosh, what are they so afraid of? They're in the house. But they're little and that's their perspective, you know. And it's crazy. We've just decided, though, we need a divide and conquer strategy that works. Let's not fight it. They're going to come in. So our divide and conquer strategy is I take the kids and I put them in bed with my wife and then I go in their room and I get some sleep. That's what... Actually, that's not what I do. See, because if I did that, I'd have two storms. There'd be the one outside, but the one inside, I'm a bit more concerned about. So that's not what we do. We've actually just literally said, all right, one will sleep with this one, and the other will sleep with that one, and we just make it work. I mean, it's so bad, it's got me lying to my kids. You know, I confess, I lie to my kids. So if it's a bad thunderstorm night, that next night, they know Daddy has an app on his phone that tells what the weather forecast is. And so they'll, right before bedtime, right when I'm talking to them, Daddy, is it going to rain tonight? And if it's 70% lower chance, I'm just like, no, it's you can judge me, but I'm sleeping. You can judge me, but I'm getting sleep. So, you know, I laugh at that. Yeah, what are they afraid of? But I get it because I remember the first time I was running and got caught in a thunderstorm. Any runners in the house, remember that? The first thunderstorm you got caught in? Yeah, and of course it happens when you're the furthest point away from your house. I mean, can't be like right around the corner. So it happened for me one morning and it was early. I didn't look at the forecast. I'm kind of doing my thing. And, you know, I run in rain all the time. Not a problem. Lightning, a little bit of a problem. I was scared. And in that moment, I remember just kind of like freezing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a lightning storm. And I'm going back to like school and all that you learn about storms. All right. Don't be near a tree. And I'm looking around and there's like trees. Oh shoot, that's not good. All right. Don't be near electrical lines. I'm running in the city. There's electrical lines all around me. And then I'm like doing the statistics in my head. I think I heard somebody say you have a 1 in X million chance of being struck by lightning, so it's not really that, you know, common. I'm in that moment. I'm far away from home, and I'm like, all right, it's a burn the ships moment. I can choose to stay here. I couldn't find shelter because the businesses around me weren't open. It was too early. They had these little narrow awnings, and I tried like taking cover under one of those for a little bit. That didn't work. And I had a burn a ship's moment. We talked about that last week, how Hernando Cortez told his men, we're burning the ships. We can only go in one direction. I had to burn the ships and run home. You want to talk about fresh motivation for prayer? boy, when you were running home in a thunderstorm, you do not have a problem finding words to pray. So, but it is. What is it about storms? There's just something primal and threatening about storms. That's why we avoid them. And today we're talking about storms as the resistance, the fear, the challenge that stands between you and the heading that you picked this week in the Brave app, in the Journey app. And that heading has storms associated with it. And what if God actually doesn't call us to run from the storm, but instead calls us to do something that's a bit more counterintuitive? Last week, Brian said, bravery leads to breakthrough. And this week, I want you to know, every breakthrough cuts a path through a storm. Every breakthrough, every heading cuts a path through a storm. Think about your favorite movie, maybe your favorite novel. I bet you there's a storm in that story. Might not be a rainstorm, might not be a windstorm, might not be a snowstorm, but there's a storm. There's a character who wants something and has to overcome tremendous storms and obstacles in order to obtain it on the other side. I'm sure that's true for every story that's captured your imagination. Every story you've personally identified with has contained a storm. Quite frankly, stories just don't work without a storm. Let me give you an example. I'll give you some bad movie pitches. Bad movie pitches. If you just start with the first scene in the movie and end with the last scene in the movie, it's a bad movie. Nobody wants to see it. Here's one. A small person plants a garden, and in the end, they sit down for a meal. Who's signing up to see that, right? Amazing, right? No. But let me introduce the storm. A small person plants a garden, only to find later on that out of all the people in Middle Earth, they have been chosen to be the ring bearer, and they go through three movies worth of storms to get to Mount Doom to drop the ring into the storm's fire. And at that point, they have rescued the whole world from evil. And at the end of the movie, they sit down back in the Shire and have a meal. You do that, you've got the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You've got a story. That just happens to be my favorite movie. So you do. You have a story. I'll give you another one. At the beginning of the movie, there's an accountant. At the end of the movie, the accountant is on a boat in Mexico. It's not really an exciting story at all. Let me tell you the storm. In the beginning of the movie, there's an accountant who's wrongfully accused and imprisoned, and he's abused tremendously in prison, and somehow he decides, I'm going to free myself, I'm going to escape, and over time, Andy Dufresne finds a way to crawl through the sewage system in the rain, stand up, and be free, and at the end of the movie, he's on a boat in Mexico. You do that, you've got Shawshank Redemption. You've got a movie. You got a story. I mean, it's just true. Every story has a storm, and guess what? The story that God is writing through the heading he's given you has a storm associated with it. And you can avoid the storm. You can hope it'll pass. You can run from it. Only problem is you'll never go anywhere new. You'll never go anyplace new. But today we're going to look at a storm story in the Bible of a guy named Peter. And in the middle of a storm, he does something amazing. The guy walks on water. And by doing that, he suggests a third option, that we can run from the storm, we can hope it passes, or we can actually be storm chasers who walk toward the storm. In fact, I want to give you a little gut check this week. How many of us did a heading, have decided, here's what I'm going after? I see some hands up. If you haven't, not too late to do that. You really need to do that. I know it's a tough decision to make. It was for me. But we picked this heading this week. And I just want to gut check your heading, give you a gut check. Because I think some of us, we know that when we heard, okay, I've got to pick a direction in this journey, a habit I want to break, a business I want to start, a relationship I want to restore, something I want to do weight-wise to overcome where I am right now, health-wise to overcome where I am right now. Many of us saw that and felt that that was the heading for us, but we projected forward to the storms that we'd face, and some of us picked something a little bit safer. That's between you and God, but I just want to give you a gut check. No matter what you're heading, you will face a storm. But quite frankly, the greater the storm, the greater the breakthrough. And so I just want you to think about that. There's a book that was written about the story of Peter walking out of the boat. And in it, John Ortberg says this: my story, like every human story, is at least in part the struggle between faith and fear. There's a very real tension in the story, right? Between faith and fear. Anybody ever been in that tension? The faith of hope that there's something here, that this is where God is calling me, that even if it's difficult, this is the direction he's sending me into. There's faith in that, but then the fear of what happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if I let people down? What happens if I fail? There's a real tension. Every breakthrough I've experienced in my life has traveled through the tension of faith and fear. Getting married. There's the faith that Maria is the woman that I'm supposed to marry at 26, and I'm ready to walk down the aisle with her, and I know God blesses the covenant of marriage, and I want to step into that, and there's dreams we have and hopes we have with each other. There's faith in that, and then there's the fear of what if I let her down? What if I can't live up to this commitment? What if she doesn't live up to this commitment? There's a real tension there before the breakthrough. Career. Fast forward a couple years after that. 31 years old, and I'm wrestling with this call to come full-time at Crossroads and be a pastor. And it was an incredible thing where I felt like God was calling me to this. This is something that he has for me. I need to boldly go in this direction. But there was very real fear as I was leaving PNG, leaving security, leaving the known, getting out of the shore into the waves. What happens here? There's a tension there. All of us can identify with that tension. I felt it again this week as I picked my heading. I mean, I'll tell you, I wrestled with this. I wrestled with, God, do you really want me? And I knew whatever I picked, I was going to be talking about. So I'm like, really? But I feel like this is where God is called. My heading, the thing that I picked, is I want to be a voice in our city for race relations. And I'm wrestling with that. I'm really glad you guys are excited about it. That's great. I'm in the tension on that. I really am. I absolutely, there's faith that there's some things here that connect to my story and how God has wired me and maybe even some of the reasons I feel like I'm in this church and in this city. Yes, that's absolutely right. But there's real fear there. There's a lot of ways this could fail. The truth is we all have to walk through that tension of faith and fear. So as you think about your heading, what are you afraid of? Because the truth is, you can hide from the storm, you can hope it passes, or you can do what Peter does and be a storm chaser. It's an incredible story. It shows up in the book of Matthew in chapter 14. It's right after Jesus has fed 5,000 people plus. So it's this miraculous thing that just happened. And the people are ready to make him king. They're like, you're the man. We're ready. Let's go take Rome right now. If you can provide food for us from 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, you can give us some swords and we can go handle this, right? They're excited. And Jesus is like, you don't understand. That's not how this rescue works. And so he sends the people off, and he sends his disciples into a boat, and Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray, because this is a pivotal turning point in his journey, in his brave journey. And in the midst of it, this is what it says. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. A friend of mine said, a surefire way to cause a storm in your life is to pick a direction. Pick a heading. And Jesus gives his disciples a heading. He says, get into the boat and go before me to the other side. He gives them a very clear direction. And it's one of the insights that I draw from this story for all of us as we go toward our heading. We have to be willing to pick a heading despite the forecast. To pick a heading despite the stormy forecast. You ever notice that if you've ever had a moment of inspiration, I think we all have, a business concept, an idea, something that you could do fresh in a relationship, a call to change something in your life. You ever notice right after that, the next voice you typically hear is the voice of reason, which is really the voice of reasons why this will fail, reasons why you shouldn't do this. That's always the next. There will always be a stormy forecast. You know, we picked a heading for this journey of saying we're going digital. We think that's where culture is. And we also believe that we can create a more immersive, responsive, connected experience for people if we go in this direction. And let me tell you something. That decision we made over a year ago, there was a stormy forecast after that. How much will this cost? Will this really work? Will people connect with this? What about people who can't access digital content? We wrestled with all of these things. There was a stormy forecast ahead. And I tell you what, I know some of you may have experienced a bit of a storm getting comfortable with the app. But the truth is, far and above, I've heard people say, this has been one of the most connective, interactive, immersive journeys I've had in terms of week one. How many people have experienced that? That's great. And if you haven't, I hope you will by the end of this weekend. So go back out to the Info Center if you need help. We want to help people experience all that they have. But there was always a negative. There will always be a negative forecast before breakthrough. There always will be. I also think about this in light of something that's happening next Wednesday, two Wednesdays from now, April 29th, that you absolutely need to be at. Ocean Demo Day is happening. I want you to know what this is. So Ocean is an accelerator, which is a place where entrepreneurs go to really cultivate their business to the next level so they can get to the next round of funding and establish relationships so they can actually get this thing off the ground, launch the business, get jobs. There's 200 of them in the world. The only one that has a faith-based component is the one that you helped to sponsor with Beans and Rice Money. So you guys are in the ground floor of this investment. And on April 29th, they're doing Demo Day, which is basically Shark Tank meets Crossroads. We're gonna have venture capitalists from all over the country. These men and women are gonna be pitching their business ideas, and they're gonna be getting feedback from venture capitalists. And I bet you there's gonna be some stormy forecast that day. In fact, my suspicion is that for many of these 10 business concepts, these entrepreneurs aren't the first people to think of the concept, they're just the first person to pursue it despite the stormy forecast. There's always a stormy forecast for anywhere God is taking you that is new. For anywhere you're going that is new, there's always a stormy forecast. There's always a stormy forecast between some of the most significant breakthroughs that we've experienced in culture. There's a collection of quotes. Maybe you've heard some of these. I like to go back to these, especially when I think about the things that would keep me from pursuing the unique and new things God calls me to. Here's one quote. Thomas Watson in 1943 said, "I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers." And he was wrong. How about this one? "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us," says Western Union in 1876. Oh, if only they could see us now. Right? How about this one? "Who the hell wants to hear actors talk?" Says H.M. Warner of Warner Brothers in 1927. Wrong. Really wrong. I love this one, though. "It will be years, not in my time, before a woman will become prime minister," says Margaret Thatcher in 1974. Which is an interesting point, because the truth is, the stormy forecast, a lot of times it is from out there. It's naysayers in your life. It's the things in culture that would cause you to be afraid, be very afraid. But if we're honest, a lot of times that stormy forecast is from right here and right here. We can be some of the biggest naysayers in our own life and in our own brave journey. And yet, if you're willing to choose a heading despite the forecast, transformation's on the other side. Breakthrough is on the other side. So if you picked a heading this week, I know your forecast. And I'm encouraging you to still pick that heading and go in the direction God called you to. This week in the app, you're going to name your storms. You want to face these. Really identify, what is the thing that would keep me from pursuing this heading that I believe God has given me? And I worked ahead a little bit this week to process where I was with my heading a bit. And I just want to share with you just honest processing from my app as I'm kind of walking through this journey. One of the questions you'll answer this week is, when I think about my heading, I feel frustrated because, and my answer was, I feel frustrated in some ways because it feels like I'm being typecasted. The black pastor that wants to talk about race. Okay, of course you do, Chuck. It frustrates me because it's not easy. It's inherently divisive in our culture, and it could be in our church. It's stormy and windy no matter what path I take, including the path of doing nothing. One of the other questions is, when I think about my heading, I feel worried, stressed, or anxious about, and I put fear. Let me call it what it is. It's fear. Fear of failure, perhaps. Fear of conflict. Fear of rejection. Fear of being wrong and having misheard God. Fear that this will be a rabbit trail that doesn't produce anything of lasting value for the kingdom. Fear that I'll only attract and therefore preach to the choir and it won't change anyone already deeply entrenched in their racial biases. Yeah, there are lots of ways this can fail. And then finally, when I think about my heading, I fear losing control of my reputation. I feel like people will make judgments about me that I don't like or agree with, and it will be out of my control to fix or correct their assumptions about me. It's telling that my reputation is the thing I most fear losing control of. And it's true. I'll tell you what, doesn't matter what your heading is, there will be storms. There will be storms. And yet, despite the forecast, what we see in the story of Peter is that Jesus invites us to walk toward the storm. to walk toward the storm. If your heading is about getting your finances in order, I tell you what, storms are on the horizon. The first storm will be when you collect all the debt you have and say, I owe how much? That'll be a storm. I've been there. And then beyond that, will I be able to change my habits substantively enough for a long enough period of time to actually experience financial freedom on the other side? There'll be a storm. Some of you may have selected a spiritual heading, something about maybe wrestling with who Jesus is or growing in my surrender to Jesus. And I tell you what, awesome heading. And I am encouraging you to go at that full bore. And there will be storms. The storm of questions and doubts about whether I really believe this or not, kind of like we heard in the song that we opened with. There will be storms. And I wish I could tell you as a person who's been following Jesus for over 25 years that, you know what, at some point those questions and doubts go away. And at some point, the waters just get really smooth. But that is not the case. That's not the case. And yet, we're called to walk toward our storm. Jesus gives the disciples a heading. Go in the boat and go to the other side. And then all hell breaks loose, literally. The story says this next. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. There's an interesting choice of words here. Beaten by the waves. The word there is buffeted, or it could be translated tormented by the waves. And almost every other time that word tormented is used in the Bible, it's used to describe demonic activity coming against what God wants done in a person. And so we can actually say this storm wasn't just a potential natural catastrophe, but there were supernatural forces involved to try to create an environment where the disciples literally would not make it to the other side. And I think if I could sit down with many of you in here, you'd say that's exactly how I feel. I feel tormented. I feel buffeted. I feel beaten. Beaten by the heading that God has given me because I know it's going to be difficult. Beaten by the situation I'm already in. Beaten by a bad diagnosis. Beaten and buffeted by the things that are already happening in my life. And I want to tell you something. Jesus got his disciples to go toward that heading, and he knew there would be a storm. Interesting, he left that out. He didn't tell them that, but he knew there'd be a storm. And yet, even though Jesus sends you in the direction of a storm, doesn't mean he causes the storm. It doesn't mean he causes the storm. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where we will face resistance, especially when we're pursuing things that God has ordained. That's just reality. But the great news is Jesus does not leave you alone in a storm. He's with you in the midst of the storm. Because the story goes on to say this, in the fourth watch of the night, this is after 6 hours, guys. They've been buffeted by these waves for 6 hours. It's now the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 in the morning. It says, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Now put yourself in the story. It's dark. And I mean, it's like, you know, crazy waves and wind beating you, rain coming. And all of a sudden in the distance, you think you see a figure walking on the sea. How would you respond? If you're honest, you'll respond like the disciples do. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Parentheses, their incontinence was challenged. Their continence was challenged. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Man, this is really rich. I love that Jesus meets the disciples in the middle of the storm. At the point at which I'm sure they thought, does Jesus even know we're here? He meets them walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. They freak out because they think it's a ghost. And one of the beliefs they had back then was, if you see a ghost on the water in the middle of a storm, you're about to be a ghost because of the water and the storm. Like, that's what they thought. So they were like, this is an omen of doom. And Jesus knows that. He sees their fear, and I love what he does. Jesus is communicating in very clear terms his authority over the storm. He does that both physically by what he does and by what he says. And I don't want you guys to miss this. Physically, Jesus is walking on the sea. And one of the beliefs, again, that ancients had was that the sea was a place of chaos. It was untamable. It was the place where the gods dwell, and the gods are angry, and they will swallow you alive. That's part of the belief system that went into why they would be so afraid to be in the middle of a sea in a storm. And so the fact that Jesus is literally treading on the heads of the evil, chaotic storm and the gods that caused them is a powerful statement that he has authority over the sea and over the wind and over the waves and over the storm. Jesus is communicating something to these men. But the other thing is he communicates that through his words. Because what they would have heard is not take heart, it is I, because obviously Jesus wasn't speaking English to them. So what they would have heard is take heart, I am. Take heart, Yahweh. Which immediately in the mind of a Jewish person would have taken them back thousands of years to Mount Sinai, where God came to Moses at a burning bush and said, I have heard the cries of my people and I'm going to rescue them from Pharaoh. You go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, Pharaoh's a pretty powerful guy. Can you at least tell me what your name is so when I tell him this God has sent me, I have a name. And the name that God gave Moses, it's a name that to this day Jews do not utter, is the word Yahweh, I am. So Jesus is not only treading on the heads of the gods, but he's saying to his disciples and to us, take heart, I am is on the water. Yahweh is on the water. Yahweh is in your storm. Yahweh is in control. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now, knowing that it's God in control, on the water, how would you respond? Now, before you get too happy clappy, let's be clear. We've got a focus group of 12 that's pretty indicative of how we'd respond. See, the truth is, even after Jesus says, take heart, it is I, Yahweh on the water, God is on the water with you, 11 of the 12 people still stay in the boat. Which leads to another question. Were they any safer on the boat? No. Still getting the wind whipped in their face. Rain is still pummeling them. The ship could potentially capsize. They are no safer. And so what we need to understand is the boat in this story represents us trying to rely on our own effort in the midst of the storm. And let's be honest, a lot of us would be in that boat. A lot of us are in that boat right now. We're trying to row harder towards the thing, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're no safer in the boat. The boat is not a safer play. And yet that's where most of the people stay. But one person, Peter, makes a brave step forward. Says this, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. In other words, what Peter was saying here is, Jesus, if that's you, enable me to do what you're doing right now. Enable me to walk on the water. Now, here's the thing. Why in the world did Peter say that? Peter's like this impulsive guy. I love him for that reason. I can relate to him. He's impulsive. I don't know if he got inspired. I don't know what it was. But in the midst of it, he's like, Jesus, Jesus, if that's you, let me walk on the water. I don't know why he did that. But he did. Maybe he lost a bet. Who knows? But he says, let me walk on the water. And it's interesting because a couple of stories back, a couple of days or months back, as Jesus has been interacting with Peter and the disciples, he asked them a question. He said, who do other people say that I am? And Peter was the first person recorded in the Bible to say, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. To make that bold declaration. And at that point, Simon, because his name used to be Simon, Jesus said to him, Simon, that's been revealed to you by God, and so I'm changing your name. You're now Rock. And based on that rock, based on that bold confession of faith, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build Water Walkers based on that. So I think when Jesus saw that out of all the 12, Peter was the one that said, enable me to do what you are doing. I think Jesus was like, my man, Peter, come on. Come on, brother, it's time. You feel it now, right? Like Jesus was like, he was excited. And he comes. And can you imagine this moment where the waves are capsized? I mean, it's crazy. And Peter does this. And he gets out of the boat. And this moment right here has to be crazy. And he does what no other person has done. And he walks on the water. He walks on the water. And what you need to see is the only difference between Peter and the 11. The only difference between people in here who are going to get a breakthrough and who won't is that he trusted the God on the water. And he took a brave step. There's one other obvious difference. He walked on water. He walked on water. Talk about the ultimate like conversation stopper if you're in a game of one-up at dinner. Man, I imagine images in heaven, and one of the images I imagine is like, they're having a dinner party like that, and Peter's there, right? And so Abraham's there, and Abraham is like, you know what? God gave me a kid when I was 99 years old. Man. Wow, that's pretty impressive, right? Pretty impressive. And Moses is there. Moses is like, yeah, I took my rod and I slammed it down and the Red Sea, God allowed it to part. It was amazing. We walked through on dry land. You know, and Paul is there, and Paul wrote up 2/3 of the New Testament of the Bible and established churches in pretty much all the known world at that point that he knew about, and it was an incredible experience for him. And Peter's there, and he's at dinner with his Crossroads cup. And he's laughing as he says, you know, Abraham, man, just the fact that you were sleeping with your wife in 99 is amazing. Just say that, props to that brother right there. But I've never had the experience of having a kid at 99. Moses, it must have been amazing to walk on the water. Walk through the water on dry land. Hint, hint, dry land. That must have been fantastic. And Paul, yes, you wrote a lot of the Bible. Prolific. Loved your teaching. Gosh. Oh, there was that time when I walked on water with Jesus. Dropped the mic. I mean, like, how do you top that? How do you top that? And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There will be storms, there will be wind, there will be waves, and you will have to face your storm to get to the breakthrough that God has for you, that Jesus is inviting you into. But maybe, just maybe, if you're willing to step out, you'll actually walk on water. So what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Name your storm. This week, you're going to name your storm. And maybe the storm is pride. Maybe the storm is unforgiveness. Maybe the storm is laziness. Maybe the storm is anger. Maybe the storm is fear. But whatever it is, if you're not willing to face your storm, you'll miss the breakthrough that God has for you when he gave you that headache. So what's your choice going to be? Will you choose comfort in the boat? Or will you choose growth out on the water? Will you choose to hold that grudge? Or will you choose to forgive? Will you choose to stay stuck, which is the definition of insanity, to keep doing the same thing? Or will you move forward? Will you continue to hide? Or will you get vulnerable and potentially experience more freedom than you ever imagined? A friend of mine sent me a sign as I was kind of walking through some brave things in my life, and I go back to it almost like an icon for this journey. It just simply says, adventure awaits. Adventure awaits. And one of the questions we talked about in the groups this week was, how would you define adventure? And for me, adventure is something that takes me to the end of myself and beyond, only to realize that there's actually more to me than I thought I was made of, more to God than I thought was there, and more to the calling he has on my life. That's adventure. And I tell you what, guys, adventure awaits people who get out of the boat. Healing awaits people who get out of the boat. Deliverance awaits people who get out of the boat. Miracles will happen in the lives of people who get out of the boat and face their storm. And here's the thing. As amazing as it is that Peter walked on water, that's not the reason to get out of the boat. The reason to get out of the boat, which strangely escaped me as much as I've read this story and hit me recently, is this. The reason to get out on the boat is because Jesus is on the water. You want Jesus? He's on the water. Jesus is not in your comfort zone. Jesus is not in playing it safe. Jesus is not on you trying to row harder to get through the storm. Jesus is on the water and he's inviting you to come. If you have a heading to see difference in your marriage, Jesus is on the water and he's inviting you to come because he wants that for you. If you have a heading to start a new business, Jesus is on the water inviting you to see how he brings creativity and a team around you to make that happen. If you're trying to break an addiction, I want you to know Jesus is calling you today to step out of the boat and experience redemption, experience community, experience healing. Man, get out of the boat, not only because you might walk on water, but get out of the boat because Jesus is on the water. Amen. He's on the water. He's on the water. In fact, I believe for many of us in this journey, today is your get out of the boat moment. Right here, right now, you may not have known it when you walked in, but right here, right now, this is a get out of the boat moment for you. And so, if you're willing to be a storm chaser, if you're willing to name your storm this week, to continue to press forward, even though it's gonna get a bit uncomfortable this week, I want you to stand up right now. This is an opportunity right now to decide that I'm going to be a water walker, I'm going to be a storm chaser, I'm gonna be someone who gets out of the boat in the chapel stand, in the room stand, if that's who you wanna be. Because here's the deal. Despite the wind, despite the waves, despite the crazy capsizing of the ship, I'm telling you what, Jesus is on the water, and if Yahweh on the water says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. You're going to the other side. So God, in this moment, as storm chasers stand, as people who say, I will get out of the boat because Jesus is on the water, as they stand, I pray that as we sing this song, it would be a declaration, both individually and as a community, that we trust you. We trust you. We trust that where you call us, you will provide for us. And even if it means going through a storm, you're faithful and you'll be there with us. Amen. Amen.
His love crashing over us like powerful waves.
Greatness of your renown. I have heard of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven. In humility I bow as your love in wave after wave crashes over.
So for all of us who would be storm chasers, I want to leave you with one more promise. And it's a promise based on the character and the faithfulness of the God on the water, Jesus on the water. It's from Philippians 1:6, and it says this: He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Let me tell you where my confidence lies. My confidence lies in this. My faithfulness is not the deciding factor on whether I get through this storm. It's the faithfulness of Jesus. And he who began a good work in you, if he tells you you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. So this week, face your storms and know that you've got a faithful God who invites you out on the water with him. We'll see you guys next weekend.